We continue this morning with the study of the book of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. If you would turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5. And let me remind you where we finished last week. We were talking about Nehemiah's confrontation with the leaders of Israel, the nobles, the officials of Israel who were, to be honest, fleecing the flock. They had put many of the people of Israel into great debt while these people were building the wall. The leaders, nobles, and officials were lining their own pockets. And you remember that confrontation last week, and it worked out quite well at the end, in which the leaders, officials, and nobles, they repented and gave back everything that they had taken, and all the people said amen. You remember the close of that story. Well, this week we're going to see a contrast. Not all the leaders of Israel were fleecing the flock. And we're going to see one who was not indeed, and that is the person of Nehemiah. So let's read Nehemiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Nehemiah chapter 5, verses 14 through 19. Remember again, this is in the first person, it's autobiographical. Nehemiah is explaining the situation to us, and he says the following. This is God's holy and inerrant word. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. The former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them for their daily ration 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. I also persevered in the work on this wall, and we acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 men, Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now what was prepared at my expense for each day was one ox and six choice sheep and birds, and every 10 days all kinds of wine in abundance. Yet for all this, I did not demand the food allowance of the governor, because the service was too heavy on this people. Remember for my good, O my God, all that I have done for this people. Lord, I pray as we consider this passage that we would be struck at heart, and you would sear the truth of this passage in our hearts to the glory of Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. It's just quite a striking passage, isn't it? And I think why it's so striking is, and I think this goes without saying, we live in a selfish, greedy age. A day in which many are simply out for themselves, out to reach fame and glory and gain. Once in a while I'll read a blog, not very often, but once in a while I'll see them. They run across my desk. And there was one there this past week, living the epic life. And that's what's being talked about, fame and glory and gain. And unfortunately, this was a blog about Christians. But unfortunately, it's as true in the church as well as outside the church. That, in my opinion, and I've seen this much, is that there is today a real lack of self-denial and self-sacrifice in the church. Most of us, I would argue, are hesitant to give all that we have to further God's kingdom. Let me say that again. I believe most of us are hesitant to give all that we have to further God's kingdom. Have any of you ever studied the life of the Englishman C.T. Studd? He was a man of the 19th century who had all the pedigree. Graduated from Eton. That's where James Bond graduated from as well. The most prestigious private school in England. He then went on to graduate from Trinity College of Cambridge University. Studd was also a famous cricketer. Cricketer? Mouseketeer? Cricketer. He played cricket. And he was on the national team of England. He was their star. He was quite a well-known sportsman of his day. C.T. Studd was also converted by the gospel while a student at Cambridge. And he was one of the famous Cambridge Seven. These were seven Cambridge students who offered themselves to Hudson Taylor for missionary work in China. Studd's comment about his life at this time is worthy of our reflection. He said the following: What is all the fame and flattery worth when a man comes to face eternity? It's quite a statement, isn't it? And while serving in China as a missionary, Studd's father died and left him a vast inheritance, £29,000. Now, I have absolutely no idea what that means. But apparently in the 19th century, that was a lot of money. Studd gave it all away for kingdom work. £5,000 to Moody Bible Institute, £5,000 to George Mueller and his orphanages, £5,000 to the Salvation Army. And went on with kingdom work. I think we see a man like this in the book of Nehemiah. Let's look at our passage this morning. Let's begin by looking at verses 14 and 15. I think we see this type of man in this passage. Look what it says, verse 14. Nehemiah says, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor." So what we see here, Nehemiah served as governor of Judah, of Jerusalem, for 12 years, from 445 B.C. to 433 B.C. And you need to understand this, that governors under Persian rule had the right to collect taxes for their needs and their upkeep. And this was commonly done by all the rulers under the Persian government. In fact, all my studies of the Persian period, I have not found one ruler or governor who did not tax his people for his own upkeep. Till now. Nehemiah forfeited these rights for the good of the people of God. He did the work of a governor, but he did not reap the taxation benefits from the people of God. What do we see? He's selfless. He's generous. He's not one who fleeces the flock of God. Look at that in contrast to verse 15, where Nehemiah talks about the former governors. Look what he says. "The former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them for their daily ration 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people." The governors of Judah before him feathered their own nests, and the people paid dearly. Even the servants of the governor, these minor officials, added to the people's burdens by collecting taxes on the people. So not only was the governor doing it, but what we would call the lieutenant governor and all his other sycophants and minions were taxing all the people of Israel. And it was a heavy taxation. The governors took 40 shekels a day from the people. And then The text literally reads, they took their bread and their wine. Such a heavy burden. Took all their silver, took all their gold, took all their bread and their wine. Now, why was Nehemiah not interested in doing these things? He had every right to it. He was the governor of Judah and Jerusalem. He had every right, according to the government, to do such a thing. Personal gain at his fingertips. Why didn't he just grab it? That plate was full before him. All he had to do was take of it. Nobody could do anything about it. It was all his. His for the taking. But look what he says at the end of verse 15. This is, of course, key to this passage. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. Is that not the most amazing statement? I did not do that because of the fear of God. And the word fear in Hebrew has the basic sense of having awe that leads to obedience. He is in such awe of God and in such awe of God's word that he's going to keep God's word and be obedient. He was serving God and not personal affluence or gain. He was not serving self. He was serving the Lord. Here's a man who had it all at his fingertips, but he did not make a god of money. He didn't make a god of land. He didn't make a god of possessions. None of that. Though he had every right to it, according to the Persian government. Well, what was Nehemiah doing? I mean, if he wasn't feathering his own nest, what was he doing? Look at verse 16. I also persevered in the work on this wall, and we acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. The text literally quotes Nehemiah saying, in regard to the work on the wall, I was firm. I was dedicated. God had called me to this work, and that's what I was doing, come hell or high water. His aim was to do good things for God. And he did that by building the wall of the city of the great king. Look what it says there. He didn't acquire any land. He had every right to. He was the governor. He could have taken whatever he wanted. His minor officials didn't purchase any either. Did you see that there? My servants, they were building the wall. They weren't out feathering their nests. And you contrast that with the previous governors, with the minor officials of the previous governors who were fleecing the flock. But not Nehemiah and his men. They did not do this. And this demonstrates that Nehemiah and his men were not doing what the officials earlier in the chapter were doing. The officials earlier in the chapter were putting the Hebrews in debt. They were putting the Israelites into slave labor. They were doing all those terrible things, but not Nehemiah and not his men. Again, he is not in Jerusalem for personal gain. He is in Jerusalem to do the will of the Lord. Now understand. There's a price to pay if you make such a decision. Look at verses 17 and 18. Moreover, there were at my table 150 men, Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now what was prepared at my expense for each day was one ox and six choice sheep and birds, and every 10 days all kinds of wine in abundance. Yet for all this I did not demand the food allowance of the governor because the service was too heavy on this people. Again, according to Persian government policy and custom, the governor of a province would entertain people at his table, and the meals would be taken care of by taxing the people. Here we see that Nehemiah fed 150 of his own countrymen at mealtime, and a countless number of guests, which would include envoys and ambassadors and others visiting the city of Jerusalem. I mean, at any time, he could have 200 teenagers going at his refrigerator. And in verse 18, Nehemiah gives what would be a normal day's food preparation. One ox, six chosen sheep, any number of fowl. And on top of that, he says, every 10 days, all the wine casks in the governor's residence had to be refilled. Can you imagine? It's an enormous food bill. How did Nehemiah pay for it all? He refused to tax the people. He refused to use his political power to add insult to injury among the people of God. He did not want to add to their burden. And so, he lessened his own estate. He paid for it, by what he had earned in Persia and what he was making as governor. It's a self-sacrificial man. Being self-sacrificial with what he had. He had compassion upon his people and he promoted their welfare at his own expense. I've told you this before. I've been reading a biography of George Mueller by Roger Steer, just to prove that I actually am reading it. Mueller, of course, is well known as a Christian who opened and ran 5 orphanages in Bristol, England, serving over 1,000 children at a time. Mueller relied solely on prayer for God to meet the needs of his ministry. He never asked a single person for money. He only asked God. One time, a man sent Mueller £100 for his own use and for the maintenance of his family. Mueller responded to the man with the following letter. October 12, 1856. My dear sir, I hasten to thank you for your kind communication and to inform you that your check for £100 has safely come to hand. I have no property whatever, nor has my dear wife, nor have I had one single shilling regular salary as minister of the gospel for the last 26 years, nor as the director of the orphan house and the other objects of the scriptural knowledge institution for home and abroad. When I am in need of anything, I fall on my knees and ask God that he would be pleased to give me what I need. And he puts it in the heart of someone or other to help me. Thus all my wants have been amply supplied during the last 26 years. And I can say to the praise of God, I have lacked nothing. My dear wife and my only child, a daughter 24 years old, are of the same mind. Of this blessed way of living, none of us is tired. But we become day by day more convinced of its blessedness. Under these circumstances, I am unable to accept your kind gift of £100 towards making a provision for myself and my family. I would thankfully accept any donation for the work of God in which I am engaged. I would also thankfully accept it as a steward for the orphans. But should I have misunderstood the meaning of your letter, be pleased to let me know it. I hold the check till I hear again from you. 2 days later, Mueller received a reply in which the donor asked him to use the £100 for the support of the orphans. And a few days later, received a further £200 for the orphans from the same donor. Mueller, like Nehemiah, was not after personal gain. but he was focused on serving God's people. He was focused on serving the orphan, the needy, and the poor. And to share the love of God and to share the gospel with them. Now, our last verse of our passage, we see another prayer. Nehemiah, again, is a man of prayer. And look what he says. Remember for my good, O my God. All that I have done for this people. That's amazing. Some commentators see Nehemiah as being prideful here. See what I have done. As if this were an attempt on Nehemiah's part to self-glorification. And that God should bring glory to Nehemiah. Boy, they truly misunderstand Nehemiah. His motivation was not self-glory, nor was his motivation purely humanitarian. Not so. What he did was to glorify God. What he did was in order to please the Heavenly Father. To promote God's people is to promote the cause of God. Nehemiah displays an unselfish service to the Lord. What does your service to the Lord look like? Is it self-sacrificial? Or is it self-glorifying? Who do you serve? C.T. Studd took a lot of criticism. You can read about it in the literature about him when people complained about his giving away his inheritance. But he said the following. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. What does your service for Christ look like? Now, I'm not saying that we should all be like C.T. Studd and give away all our money and all that we own. I'm not saying that. That is certainly uncommon, and it's actually rarely seen in the Scriptures. Nehemiah did not simply divest himself of everything that he had. But what did he do? What he did do was to use everything he had for the glory of God and for the work of the God's people. Put it another way, Nehemiah didn't just give everything away, but he gave everything over to the Lord. He surrendered all to Christ. Again, what does your service for Christ look like? What are you holding back? What treasure are you keeping for yourself? The words of Judson Van Deventer, 1896, summarizes it well. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Amen and amen. Please pray with me. Most Heavenly Father, I pray that we would indeed surrender all to Christ, no matter what it is. Be it our money, be it our family, be it ourselves, O Lord. All to Jesus I surrender.